you might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John, and in chapter 2, as you just read. And perhaps, in light of everything, we'll look to God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you're able to help us to learn, to relearn, to unlearn. And our God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And we shared in our first epistle of John, as we're looking at it, that the Spirit of God is seeking to have the believing heart to enjoy God's wonderful grace. And not only to read, say, I know the Lord is my Savior, but to be able to enjoy being saved. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so we share together a key as we're reading, and God says it over and over and over again to help us in our relationship with God. And that relationship with God involves abiding in Him. And we shared that. It's all over the place. And in particular, we'll go back. I'm going right back here, back over to first to the Gospel of John, and reminding ourselves rather specifically. And in John chapter 15, Gospel of John chapter 15. And this, remember, it's a relationship. I am the vine, and ye, and my Father is the husbandman. And sliding down, verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, verse 5, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, doesn't abide, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. On the other hand, verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What are we looking for, God? Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So, looking to God and God's word, God's doing, God, you're going to go, and unless we abide as a branch, we have no fruit. We have no fruit, and we need to abide. If the branch doesn't abide, then isn't this going to produce any fruit? And if it doesn't produce any fruit, and it says it belongs to the branch, I belong to the Lord, He's my Savior, but I don't have any fruit. The branch. So, then what are we going to do with a branch out there? We're going to take the branches that aren't connected, and we're going to use them, burn them up, or whatever we do, because they have no reality to them. There's no reality to them. They say they belong to the tree, but there's no life to the tree. No life. It has to be abiding, dwelling, continuing, resting in, staying in the same place, resting there. And when it does that, when the branches do that, they produce fruit. That's what they do. The fruit isn't the fruit and leaves are not the branches. How do you know that? There's the branch down in the ground. The branch down in the ground has no leaves. It has no fruit. You have to be connected. That's the only way the branch can have fruit. You have to be connected. Otherwise, we say, well, I'm a believer, but there's no proof. There's no proof of that at all. So therefore, we have to be abiding. Now, back over to 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 24. Let that therefore, chapter 2, verse 24, let that therefore abide in you. Remember, we looked at this last time, all over the place. Abide, 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 abide. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning. If, and it may or may not be true, you may be saved, you may not be saved. If that which you heard the message, you heard the gospel from the beginning, shall remain, there's the word abide, remain in you, you shall continue, there's the word abide again, continue, abide in the Son and in the Father. In other words, you have a relationship. And if you heard right, then you have a relationship. If you didn't hear good, then you don't have a relationship. Now, and again, taking the illustration, if I can, and in the process, I'm coming, just hang on. I need all you guys. Now, this is from a tree. I know it's really helping you understand. This is from a tree. Now, and it has leaves. Now that tree, this branch was abiding, and it has leaves, and that's all it's going to have, that kind of thing. So, here's the leaves and the fruit, say. Here it is. Now, there's other trees all around, but this is the only tree that looks like this. It's the only tree that looks like this. Apart from me, without me, you have nothing. You have to be abiding in God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The interesting thing is, if I look at that tree, and here's another branch. Here's another branch. Do you know they're the same? Is that a profound statement against you? They're the same. Why are they the same? That's a trick question. Why are they the same? They're from the same tree. Why are these all the same? They're from the same tree. Got that? There's no branch on this tree that doesn't look just like this. The whole tree, God in Christ, said you need to understand you have a unique relationship to Him and you need to practice it so that how do you know you belong to the tree? How does this guy know? They look at each other and they know. How do you know you're saved? You abide. And you have to what when you abide? You got an old sin nature and you do whatever. And we do what we do, and you do what you do, and everyone does what they do. That's not abiding. If I'm saved, I'm supposed to be abiding. And I'm going to have fruit And if you say you have fruit, I should be able to look at your life and see the same thing as in my life. Is it true? I should be able to find it in anyone's life here. But that won't be true. I wish it was true. They have to be the same life, abiding. That's how you know you're saved. For sure. Fruit. The fruit isn't of the branch, it's of the tree. God provides a wonderful, wonderful fruit. So, if I were to go to China, places, Venezuela, Russia, Iran, and Iran, and I won't find churches in some of these places, but if I did, a little group of believers out there in the woods in China, out there in the woods, and if they're saved, they're saved. Do you know, I don't speak Chinese, but you know, if I was with them, it's a rule. My heart's right, I'm going to connect to them. I can't tell you. I don't know what to say. If they're abiding in China, and I go there, I'm going to see the same thing. I have to. I'm going to go to church. You better see the same thing. See the same thing. Otherwise, who knows where you are and who knows what you are? The way you abide, and that makes it simple. And if you say you're saved, then I want to see some fruit. Where's the fruit? In my life, your life. I want to see it. That's the only evidence. If you abide, that's what he's saying. Because everyone's saying everything, and they were getting, you read it in the scripture reading. They went out from us, they're not of us. The people are there. They're coming and going. So when the church comes together, it's a whole bunch of believers abiding. What do you see when you come to the church that's abiding? Leaves. The same tree. Not three different gods, three different Methodist, Baptist, Congregational. You don't see that. You're supposed to see Christ, and you're supposed to have the same life that I do, that you do. Now, I don't see that life. You have a right to examine my heart, 2 Corinthians 13:5, and see if it's real. You have every right to do it. I'm not just bringing a message to you. That's what we don't do that. I don't want to do that. Trying to help you understand. What are you writing, John? You're writing, like in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. We have fellowship with the Father and with his Son. And you're to enjoy 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. You're to enjoy the fullness. This isn't what church is normally. Not on this earth. It used to be. Well, so then what do we have? We don't have his church. I don't care how you cut the cookie or what you like or don't like. I'm just trying to tell you, it doesn't measure up to God's word. And you can call whatever you want, do whatever you want, say whatever you want. It's only what we say and what we do, and it goes no further than the ceiling. It's our opinion, our thinking. The reality needs to be there. You need to abide. And that's how Christians are. And that's why we're stuck with the system. It is so, I should have brought a bunch of dead branches out. The congregation of the dead. And we don't have that. Hang on, it's going to come out to you. See it. It's wonderful. But you're supposed to have the same life in the same way. Same way. We're different. No, we ain't. We aren't different. You have the same Christ as I do if you're saved. You have the same love as I do, the same life as I do, the same lordship as I do. You have the same benefits. You are attached to the same person, and you're going to produce the same fruit no matter how you cut the cookie. And when you start telling me I have different fruit, then you're not of the same vine. Simple as that. And the churches go and the church is there. But the church, as you know, we're at the end of the age. Revelation 3 and all that. We don't need anything, God. We're pretty good. Us. Us human, not you guys, but that's the system. And that's what we got. So John, what are you writing? I'm trying to lock it in to the believers. Back then, John, boy, would the Apostle John see a different congregation today, wouldn't he? What a different thing. Yep. Well, John, here we are. And John says, listen, you're going to overcome. And I'm trying to help you overcome because you don't understand the system, all the churches, all the groups, all the beliefs and everything. And ultimately then, where is the truth? So therefore, back over in the Gospel of John, down to verse 28. And now, little children, abide. There's your word again. Abide, like the vine and the branch. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, little children, abide in him. Why? That when he shall appear, you may have confidence, boldness, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. What? Now, here again, here's Christ in this branch. Here's Christ. It's attached to Christ. Thank you. Attached. There it is. Now, Christ in my heart, your heart, do you know, what do I know about him? Well, I know, Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, he said, when you come to the end of God's word, he isn't going to say no more. He's all done talking, now listen to him. So therefore he said, what are you saying to me, God? I'm coming quickly, present tense. I am coming now. Now, where's he saying that? That's right. Christ in me is looking for his coming. The one who said it, Revelation 22 and 20, I'm coming. And he's in me. That's what he's saying. I'm coming. So what am I going to be doing? I'm looking for his appearing. Why wouldn't I be looking for his appearing? Oh, because I don't believe in the rapture. Or I believe we're going through the kingdom. We're going to go through at the end of the kingdom, God will start end it all. Oh no, all kinds of theory and philosophies. You know, it's all right. No, it isn't all right. If Christ is in you and you're healthy, you have to be abiding. And he's looking to come in my heart and yours. If you're saved, isn't he? He said, I'm coming. Where's he saying it? Where are you saying it, God? He's saying, I'm in here. I'm coming for you. I'm here, but I'm going to be there. That's right. That's what you told me. That's what you're doing. So everyone in the branch, everyone in the tree that's abiding thinks the same. No. Yes. You can't think differently if it says this. That's why we read it. It says it. Then you better believe it, because that's what makes us one. Well, I don't believe that. Well, then you believe something different. That's right. Well, then go ahead. I just need to be abiding in the Word of God so the Word of God works. And everyone in there is going to agree. We all agree. That's why we study the Bible. Read it. Why? So that we all understand abiding, for instance, righteousness, we need to understand. So we all think this, understand this is what's in me. Christ's righteousness. Hang on, gotta get it. Are you getting the idea? It's a sin. I could throw this away. because it doesn't exist out there. But it exists in the Bible. It should exist in your heart, but it doesn't exist out there. And you need to know that. The rest of it's an exercise in futility. You say, well, I'm sincere and doing. You go ahead. Lots of people know. They got clubs and all kinds of things, all kinds of groups. They're all, everyone's happy with what they do. But if you're going to be a believer, you have to be abiding. So, and that's sobering. You understand? Because you look at each other, look, is the one next to you communicating that? That's what you're looking at. Well, no, we don't do that. Well, then why not? Why not? What's the problem? You're not abiding. Not you guys, of course, but not abiding. If you're abiding, you have to be. You can't be in a different page. You can't be in a different tree. You have to stay. You're stuck. Without me, you can't do anything. Okay. Now, where we want to go? I'm trying to get you to see what? Verse 28. It isn't a thing pie in the sky. God said, listen, if you're abiding, you know I'm coming. Well, I don't believe in the rapture. Why not? Well, because there's no way for you to be saved apart from your ignorance of the Bible. There's no way for you to be saved and not looking for his coming. That's your blessed hope. You're looking for his coming. What are they doing in Thessalonica 1:10? We're waiting. We're busy, busy, busy. Lots of idolatry, lots of pressure, but we're busy. What are we doing? We're waiting for his coming. Because that's what he said. Where's he going? He's here. Going to be there. That's what it has to be. It has to be. It doesn't make any difference what you feel about it, what you want to do. It just plain is. And I don't see. Show me the evidence that you abide. I don't see it. I've been with people sometime. Some people. Anyway, sometime. Anyway, forget that. Now, so, verse 28 again. I just read that. You'll not be ashamed. Ashamed it is coming. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, and all the branches and all the branches everyone needs, we need to be looking to God's wonderful, wonderful grace in his wonderful, wonderful way. Now you're ready for verse 29. Now remember what we're doing. We're locking in the Spirit of God. 1 John is locking in. You need to be very, very sure that you're saved. You can't enjoy, you can't enjoy the tissue unless you have it. And you need to know in the midst, and this is, I'm going to go back then, Judaizers, Gnostics, all the different opinions and views that were coming about Christ. Is he really God? Is God the Father and Son in the same person? Is God really like that? All the stuff, all of that's there. Now move to where we are today. And if you thought that was bad then, think what it is now. When we look out, think what it is. And why isn't it going to be fixed? Because we're going this way. And God already told you. Revelation 3 is where you're at, and that's the next thing before I come. I'm not going to change it. There is no other thing. It's like you read in 1 John 2, verse 18, it is the last time, the last hour. It's the last time. That's it. Now, having said that, verse 29. And therefore, if you know that he is righteous, if you know that he is righteous, and therefore, If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So if you do that rightly, then you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. If, and you may know, and you don't, you may or may not know. No, and if you're knowing, that he is righteous, okay? So put that together. And there. Otherwise, I'm going to give you the problem, and then so you get it ahead. Then it says, verse 29, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now, I give you the thought, if I took it just as it is and don't pull it out to see it. Now, everyone that does right, he did right. He's righteous. He never did a wrong. He never did a wrong. His whole 24-hour day, 7 days a week, was right. Now, tell me about your life and mine. Are you going to do right all day today in thought, word, and deed? Now, how are you ever going to do right? I need to answer that. So, go with me, please, over if I can, in your Bible, to Matthew chapter 3. And remember now, from the beginning, chapter 2, verse 24, from the beginning, when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, what did you know? Chapter 3, the Gospel of Matthew. And may I pick up the thought, please? Chapter 3, in verse 15. Chapter 3, verse 15. Little context. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it, this is to John the Baptist, at his baptism, the beginning of his ministry. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill righteousness. All rightness must be fulfilled. What are you asking in 1 John 2:29? Do you know he's righteous? You know he's righteous. Why do I know he's righteous? Because he came to fulfill all righteousness. And therefore, when Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What were you doing? You were identifying with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was baptizing Jews, that were understand they need to be saved. They understood sin. They understood they weren't saved. They understood they had no fellowship with God. They needed to have a relationship to God. They didn't have it. And John the Baptist was pointing to the Lamb of God that was going to take away the sin of the world. And so when we follow John, what are you going to do? John's baptism doesn't save anybody. It gets us ready. It makes us tell, and hundreds of people, we don't know how many. That's why on the day of Pentecost, so many people got saved. Because what? They've been all baptized. They're waiting for the Savior. And so when? So then, so you're going to do, Christ, you're going to be baptized, but you're not a sinner. No, I came to be the last Adam. I'm going to bear the sin of the world. I'm the right one. I'm going to go and be part of John's baptism as an introduction. I am the one, the righteous one, to take away the sin of the world. I am the sinless Son of God. I want to be baptized. John said, no. Yes, he said, I'm the Savior. I must, God and the Father in me. I must go to the cross. I must be baptized. Going a little further. a little further if I can. So his public ministry for 3 1/3 years, starts at age 30 and goes to 33, thereabout, plus or minus 33. And in the sometime you'll read 37 years old, some things, it depends on what you're reading. He was 37. He really didn't do it. Well, there's no question, you can't argue with the fact that he began his ministry when he was 30. That's what he did. For 3 1/3 years. 30, 31, 32, 33. Not 35, 36, 37. Can't do that. And besides, Tiberius, Tiberius, I knew you all knew Tiberius, the emperor. And the emperor, Augustus, I think it was Augustus, and here's Tiberius. Tiberius was a co-regent. He ruled Rome with the other emperor who was about to die. And if you go and take Tiberius down here, when the emperor dies, then you got one date. But if I go back here, when he's still reigning, I got this date. And it says this, he says Tiberius was reigning. Was he reigning? Yes, he was. Anyway, you got all that. Now, I don't want to confuse you any more than I do. Now, over if we can. In the light of that, picking up if I can. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the prophet, but not yet. No one wants to listen to him. Gives the word, prophet, priest, and king. But they reject him as king. So he's going to be the priest, representing God and representing us humans, and he's going to be the priest. What are you doing as the priest? I'm bearing the sin of the world in my own body on the tree. That's what I'm doing. I'm the priest. And the priest has to take the sin into the altar, and they consecrated. That's right. The priest had to be anointed, consecrated to do the job. John Christ is baptized. He's the right one to do the right job for right the rightness to have everything come out right. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and in Matthew chapter 5, picking up, if I may. In chapter 5, going, if I can, to verse 17. Our Lord, picking up in the context, verse 17, 5:17, Matthew. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. A little dot in a Hebrew letter. Every little speck of that Hebrew letter is going to be fulfilled. Has to be fulfilled. I came, the law says the wages of sin is death, and I am going to the cross to pay that price for everyone in Adam. That's what I'm going to do. Now, having said that, verse 20. I'll read verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, verse 20, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to exceed a righteousness. Where am I going to, back over in your mind, anyway, in your mind, 1 John 5, 2 and 20. Do you know he is righteous? You do know, don't you? That's the question. Don't you know he's righteous? He's the right one. He died for you. He's the right person. And so he demonstrated it in all of his, in this thing. So he demonstrated all of this in his most wonderful way. And you know from Romans, and in chapter 10, and verse 3 and 4, we'll do that one. Why not? You know it, but lock it in. Because what we're doing is, am I saved by the right person for the right, in the right reasons, for the right way? Romans in chapter 10, picking up, if I may. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Oh, I'll read verse 2. For I bear them record, Jews, that they have a zeal of God, like the Pharisees you just read. That according to knowledge, not according to knowledge. 4, verse 3, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, without Christ. Christ said, you need to abide in me, and I in you. Without you, cannot. If you don't abide, you can't have any fruit. So therefore, Romans 10 and verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So the branch is connected, and the branch is going to go and enjoy rightness. Where does it get right? Attached to the tree, to Christ, to God, Christ in God, in Christ, in them. Is it, they are abiding, abide the branch. They're attached. So everything that Christ is, the branch enjoys. How is the branch the right branch? Because it is attached to the right tree. And it's right. It has a rightness. Where does it come from? Christ in you is right. Where did you ever get rightness? In God, in Christ. He gave it to me. In his wonderful person, he died to make it possible. Therefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. And in verse 30. You know what? I'll read verse 20 since it's relevant. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but contrast to him, of him, of God. Are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? Where did I get it? I don't have it. But when God saved me, he tied me to his wonderful Son. And everything in his Son, everything that Christ is, he becomes to me, becomes mine. Wonderfully mine. How so? All in a wonderful way. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind if I can. So we have fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. That's what 1 John trying to drive home the point to your heart and mine, that God, in his wonderful grace, does a wonderful thing for us. We have a unique relationship to God, vine and the branch. Of all the different ways you say things, God, here's one, that's vine and the branch. Can't miss that one. So therefore, in the light of that, over if I can. So God, over to Matthew chapter 12. Let me add another one, little word. Matthew chapter 12. May I pick up, please, and chapter 12. Oh, let's go over to verse 50, chapter 12 and verse 50. And therefore, for whosoever, remember he's in the room, his family comes to tell him, to try to get him out because he's embarrassing everybody and embarrassing the family. And verse 30, I'll read verse, little context, chapter 13, verse 48. And he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Remember, they're asking you, because get that guy out, bring our brother out so we can save us the embarrassment. Verse 49. And he stretched forth his hand toward the disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. And remember what he's doing. You have to pick it, get the sense. Here's this big crowded room. And he puts his hand on and says, this is my mother and my brethren. And family. You become a child of God. John 1:12. You become a son of God. Romans 8. Your family. Your brethren. Do it again. Hebrews. And in Hebrews, if I can, chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Now, so therefore, you know, chapter 2, verse 10. Hebrews 2, 10. Book of Hebrews 2:10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings going to the cross. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to be called them brethren. Christ is set apart for God's saving work. And Christ in you sets you apart. How are you set apart? In the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. What am I getting? Back to the vine. Same life. Same love. Same everything. Same everything. I didn't mean to jump. Give me another thing going back and forth. What are you going to do coming up? You're going to be, right now, see in the bodies, you're all a little different, Audrey. Right? And we use that there. So, no, but when we're abiding, boy, we better practice this somehow, or we never know how saved you are. If you're saved, say we go to church forever. You can go to church forever, but that doesn't save you. That doesn't change your life. That's why people could sit here 10 years, 20 years, and go. Nothing ever happened. Nothing has to happen. So what are we doing? God, what are you going to do? You sanctify us, and set upon us to be called brethren. Wonderfully, God, you set us apart. And thus we're called the brethren, we're part of the family in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And we're to understand that. We're brethren. We belong to you, Father, in Christ. That's what we do. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And therefore, God, we're going to look to you to deal with our heads and deal with our hearts and help us in every way. So, God, I need to practice, God. I need to exercise my relationship to you so that I am enjoying being saved. I can't enjoy God apart from being connected to God. How can I enjoy the tree out here in the garbage? I have to enjoy the tree. I can't enjoy being saved unless I'm abiding. It's just impossible. It's impossible. But we're bishops. I don't care if you're a bishop and even the other fellow. You understand? It doesn't matter what you are. You have to be saved. You have to have abiding in Christ. A Methodist, I was one. Be abiding in Christ. Congregationalist, be an abider in Christ. Baptist, be an abider in Christ. And what? We're all going to be the same. That's what we're going to be. See? So we try the World Council of Churches to get everyone to join the club, which is what they're doing, which is what's happening. Now, so therefore, we're brethren, God. We're part of the family. Your wonderful, wonderful grace in your most wonderful, wonderful way. So back over, if I can, over to Philippians. And in Philippians, the righteousness. Yeah. How am I going to do righteousness? Abide. Where am I going to get righteousness? Abide like the branch. And you done got it. Why? You're abiding in Christ, the righteous one. You're abiding in the right person for the right reasons, and it's going to come out right. And you'll know you're right. You'll know you're saved. That's verse 29. Don't sit around, what am I really, really there? Yes, you're really there. Then enjoy being there and stop getting all loused up with the world around you, religion around you, people around you. You get all riled up, you know, and doing this. Who knows what's right? And I'm doing that, and gas is cheaper, and what else can I say? See? No. No, as a life, you need to live it. Therefore, Philippians, picking it up again. And in Philippians chapter 3, and in verse 7, for what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. What do you mean? Well, and remember, he gives his list. He's rich. He's a Pharisee. He's a famous Pharisee. He hunted the church. He did killed and captured. He did everything. He did. He did. There's no. He was an outstanding person in all every category. And he said, but every category I was outstanding in, I was wrong. Looking at it. So therefore, verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I count them as waste. Count them as waste. You see, there you are. Well, I had to say that, but it makes you somebody. No, it doesn't make you anything. It makes you something in this world system, but not before God. The only thing that makes you something before God is when you honor his word and do what he told you to do, to believe and receive him as your Savior. He said, that pleases me. That pleases me. And that includes everybody. You don't have to go to Harvard or MIT. You don't have to go there. You don't have to be president or something else. You just have to be a believer who happens to be abiding, enjoying the trip. Therefore, it counted all but dung, waste, in the garbage. What a waste. It's nothing. Ah, what are you going to then say it? Verse 9, but be found. I want to be found in Christ. Hang on to your thought. And just here's 1 John 2 and 28. Abide in him that you won't be ashamed at his appearing. Now, back over. Here's Paul. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own, what, dear friend? It's not my righteousness. I'm not looking for your righteousness. I'm looking for his righteousness. I want to see his righteousness. not your righteousness. I want to see his. Abiding. And the branch is going to be the right branch, attached for the right reasons, producing the right things. It's going to be what? Showing relationship to the right person for the right reasons. It's going to be showing it. Now, and therefore, verse 9, and be found in him, not having of mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's right then. I received Christ as my Savior, and God did a wonderful, wonderful thing in my heart. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, so the Spirit of God is going to go, and he says it all, the abiding. They say abiding, present tense, command. Keep going. All the branch abides it every day. Spirit of God, now, are you going to get tired of saying what? Galatians 4 and 6 and Romans 8 and 15. God the Father, God the Spirit of God says, Abba Father, in the heart of his family. My Father. And then Romans, then what are we supposed to do? I keep hearing what? Abba Father. Until you what? Until you start saying Abba Father, Hebrew, Greek, Father. Lock it in. The righteousness you need. If you're trusting the right one and you're abiding, you're going to have the righteousness you need. And what are you going to know? You're going to know you are surely saved. Surely saved. Not maybe I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I am surely saved. I don't deserve one drop of it, and neither do you. No offense. But boy, God, I may louse up everything. The world around me may louse it up. But no matter what we do, we can't change your saving grace, your death on Calvary's cross, your being our Savior according to what? That when we believe and receive you as our Savior, we attach ourselves and have a relationship to you in relationship and fellowship. And that fellowship needs to be exercised and enjoyed. How can I abide? Not be intellectual. I learned 4 more verses. I learned a little more about Ecclesiastes or something, and I learned more. And we can get that. God bless all of that. You can get the blessed. Get all that. And I learned a little more about what's the subject? Israel. So we're going to do Israel. We'll do whatever we want. Do it. And we'll do it. And we do all of that. So we can do that. Doesn't mean I'm abiding. Nothing. I don't have to abide. I have to understand what you're saying. And that's what I'm doing. I need to be abiding. I need to let that truth be locked in. God's word is hidden in my heart. And out of my heart comes God's word that I am to be counted in Christ, his righteousness. And that righteousness makes me as right as he is. So therefore, it has to be. No matter what other stupid thoughts I say or stupid things I do, you're right, God, and I'm wrong. Now, and they come to the end of verse 9, of the Christ, the righteousness which is of faith. Over in closing, over to Romans. I hope you got a little bit, trying to get it. Romans in chapter 10. And you'll note. Romans chapter 10. Believer gets, came to know the Lord as a Savior. And here's this statement made of our profession of faith. Verse 9, chapter 10, Romans, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the grave, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. A resurrected Christ, my Savior. Verse 10, four reasons. Four, what happened? With the heart, man believeth unto. What happened when you received the Lord as your Savior? You believed in your heart that he was the righteous one. That's what you did. And it says, simple English. Four, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Yep. Yep. So what's 1 John 2:29? Did you not get this from the start when you got saved? Didn't you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And when you did, Christ became your Savior. He became the right one to save you in the right way for the right reasons. He gave you his righteousness. Well, got it? Our Father and God, we thank you. Deal with our heads and hearts and help us in every way. We're trying to get through it, God, and understand it better. If we don't understand it, God, we're caught up in the system that we live with every day, every week. We live in the system that has no connection. No connection, God. It's involved in many, many things, even includes you, without ever knowing you, without ever honoring you, without ever abiding. So, God, you got to help us. And here we are, just little old us. And we draw a circle and stand in it. And then we draw a circle around us all. God, here we are. So help us in every way. And we'll thank you for your grace and kindness and your wonderful assurance, your wonderful certainty that makes it so makes us invincible, God. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.